All right. Good morning, everyone. Good to see you all. Happy Good Friday to you. So welcome to you. Thanks for joining us this morning. If you're a guest, my name is Darren. Welcome to you if you're joining us online as well. Thanks for joining us. I want to invite you to open your Bibles to the passages we've been hearing read in our time together this morning. It's John 19, page 1027. So John 19, there's Bibles there behind you or around you somewhere. John 19, page 1027. We'll just be looking at a few places in there and what we've just read. Have you got it? Good. So as we do that, it could be politicians, it could be sports stars, it could be actors, musicians, celebrities die all throughout each year, and we remember them. Maybe you recognize this face, a recent celebrity who died. Anyone recognize who this is? Who is it? Chuck Norris. That's right. Action movie star, Chuck Norris. Looking a little bit young there, but just died a few weeks ago in March. This might be a little trickier, but do you recognize this cricketer from England a while back? Do you recognize him? All right. David Sid Lawrence died last June. He was the first British-born black player to represent this country. When celebrities die, we mourn them and we remember the significance of the work that they left behind, their reputation, their accomplishments. No doubt Jesus had achieved celebrity status when he was killed by people in power who were growing increasingly threatened by his popularity. And like celebrities of our day, his life had made a big difference to the people who followed him. But unlike all other celebrity deaths, his death, the death of Jesus, is significant in itself. Not just that he lived, but that he died and why he died, and what his death makes possible for all of us, his death and his resurrection. We've heard read to us in today's service the events of Good Friday in John 19. Let's spend a little bit of time this morning reflecting on the meaning of those events. The crucifixion of Jesus accomplishes many things for us, things for all of humanity. But at the heart of it, the cross is about forgiveness. And I make that statement in two ways. His death on the cross makes a way for us to be forgiven for our sin, which separates us from a holy and a good God. We'll see that in various scriptures this morning. But here's the even more amazing thing, that even as he was dying, Jesus not only makes a way for us for the forgiveness of sin, but he actively forgives the very people who are tormenting him on the cross. So he enacts forgiveness for us, and he speaks forgiveness to the people who are tormenting him. Look with me, if you will. We didn't hear it in John's gospel, but at Luke 23, 34, and I have it here on the screen for you as well. When they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified him there along with the criminals, one on his right, the other on his left. And Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." Isn't it remarkable that even in his suffering, in the face of his torment and death, Jesus is able to extend forgiveness to the people around him? And so here's what we're going to see today in our look at John 19 as we consider this cross on Good Friday. We're going to see three things. The forgiveness of the cross, number one, is for all people. The forgiveness of the cross changes our relationships. And the forgiveness of the cross is final. It is finished. That's what we're going to see here today. So let's start with the forgiveness of the cross is for all people. Look back with me in your Bibles at John 19, picking up in verse 19. Pilate had a notice prepared and fastened to the cross. This is verse 19. It reads, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." Many of the Jews read this sign, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and the sign was written in Aramaic, Latin, and Greek. So here it is, near a busy city full of people from all nations coming and going out in their travels in into the city. And there it is, the sign written in mockery of who Jesus claimed to be, the true king. And it's nailed above his head for all to read. And it's written in multiple languages so that many people could read it. Did you see that? Now, Pilate didn't know what he was doing, but right here he was declaring that Jesus isn't just the king of the Jews, but of every tribe and nation, every spoken language. If we were to make a sign for us here at GSM to try and cover every heart language spoken by the people that walk through our door all through the week here in this building, how many languages do you think we would need to include? A dozen? Maybe more? Friends, the forgiveness available on the cross is meant for all people, people of every tongue and background. And that includes you, whatever you've done, your greatest regret, your deepest shame. Here's what another part of the Bible says about this. This is from Colossians chapter 2. When you were dead in your sin, and in your sinful nature, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us. He has taken it away, nailing it to the cross. Isn't that beautiful? Now think of that. You, whatever language you speak, whatever sin you think you've done that could never be forgiven, here we are told that debt is canceled. It's been nailed to the cross. You've been forgiven. You were dead, this says, but you have been made alive in Christ. So I want to give us time to reflect on this, just as I go point by point, maybe just in the quiet here this morning. I'll give us just a minute. Would you reflect on the reality that this forgiveness is for you, that you were dead and you have been made alive in Christ because of forgiveness. Let's pause and reflect. Let's continue. The forgiveness of the cross changes our relationships. Pick up with me, if you will, in Luke 19. Look at verse 26 and 27. This is where we see a small group of women who were near to the cross, and they're watching closely what's happening. Look at verse 26. When Jesus saw his mother there and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to her, "Woman, here is your son." And to the disciple, "Here is your mother." From that time on, this disciple took her into his home. So Jesus extends forgiveness on the cross, and he also invites us into a different way of relating to each other. He gives us spiritual mothers and fathers and sisters and brothers, people that we get to learn from and grow up with, people that we get to journey with in our faith, people we are asked to love and to forgive in the same way that we have been loved and forgiven. Jesus himself talks about this when he speaks to his disciples. I have it here on the screen for you, John 15. "My command is this," Jesus says, "love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends." Later on in a letter, 1 John chapter 4, it says, "This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. And this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice." That's a payment of forgiveness, as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. So, dear friends, since God has so loved us, we also ought to love one another. The cross changes our relationships. Just this week, I got to witness this kind of love in action here in the life of the church. In a small group setting, One person was able to share their deepest pain and heartache, while others listened and spoke the truth. We were able to encourage. We were able to challenge. We prayed together for this hurting individual. We acted like spiritual family together. So let me ask you this. Do you have people in your life who have become like spiritual family because of Christ's work on the cross? People who are able to speak forgiveness into your life. People with whom you've been able to live out the forgiveness offered on the cross. The work of the cross changes our relationships. So let's pause again and consider what that means in your life today. We'll just, again, pause in the silence and consider, how has the cross changed my relationships? And finally, the forgiveness of the cross is finished. It's final. Look back with me, will you, at John 19. We'll pick up in verse 28. Later, knowing that everything had now been finished and so that Scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said, "I am thirsty." This is verse 28. A jar of wine vinegar was there, so they soaked a sponge in it, put the sponge on a stalk of the hyssop plant, and lifted it to Jesus' lips. When he had received the drink, Jesus said, "It is finished." And with that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Friends, so much of the story of God and his people points to this moment. All of Scripture points to this. So much of the journey with Jesus that we've been on over the last number of weeks in John's Gospel has led to these final words. Having lived a perfect life and announcing the nearness of God's kingdom and then demonstrating it through his miracles and his compassion, here is Jesus surrendering his very life in sacrifice for us. It is finished. And when this work is accomplished, Jesus declares it finished and final. Another part of the Bible says it like this. This is in Hebrews chapter 9. "But he has appeared once for all at the culmination of the ages to do away with sin, by sacrificing himself." There's forgiveness again. Just as people are destined to die once and after that to face judgment, so Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many. Once and for all. The work of the cross is finished. The work of forgiveness is final. The debt is paid and our sins are wiped clean. So let me ask you this. How does this change the way that you see your own sin? Do you hang on to it, never fully accepting that Christ's work of forgiveness is finished and final? Does it linger over you? Does it weigh you down, coloring the way that you see the world, or perhaps even affecting your readiness to forgive others around you? Jesus declares that the work of forgiveness on the cross is finished and it's final. So again, in the silence, let's pause for a moment and consider what that means for your life. It is finished. In the sacred space of Good Friday, let's consider what the cross means for us today. I love that John, the writer of this gospel, adds these lines in his telling of the events. Let's look at it here. Would you look at verse 32 of John 19? "The soldiers therefore came and broke the legs of the first man who had been crucified with Jesus, and then those of the other. But when they came to Jesus and found that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. Instead, one of the soldiers pierced Jesus' side with a spear, bringing a sudden flow of blood and water. The man who saw it has given testimony, and his testimony is true. He knows that he tells the truth, and he testifies so that you also may believe." Look at that detail that we get here. Jesus is verifiably dead. It's evident to the soldiers who aim to hurry it along by breaking the legs of those hanging on the cross so that they would suffocate and die. There are multiple real witnesses to this testimony. John says their testimonies are real and they're true. And then this line in verse 35 that his testimony is true, that he knows that he's telling the truth, and he testifies so that you also in 2026 may believe. So what's our response to the forgiveness offered on the cross? This whole journey with Jesus to the cross was written down so that you also may believe. Consider that for a moment. Do you believe it? Do you trust it with your life? For you today, it may be that it's just the knowledge that there may be a real and lasting forgiveness that's available to you because of the cross. It's available to all who would believe and accept it, regardless of your nationality, your background, your social status. Regardless of what you've done, the forgiveness of the cross is final. The work is finished, and forgiveness is on offer. Today is a good day, again, to pause and to confess any sin in your life, things that you've done, your hurtful thoughts, your words, your actions, and the things that you've left undone. And as we confess them, then we repent. That means we turn in a new direction, and we choose to go in a new way. And then we celebrate the forgiveness that's available to us because of the cross, especially as we come to the communion table together. Third, because of the great debt that we've been forgiven, let us take active steps to let the power of the cross change our relationships. Good Friday is a great day to actively take steps of forgiveness to those who have wronged you in any way. Can I invite you to consider that today? What would a step of forgiveness look like for you in your life? Jesus' death is no ordinary celebrity death. This forgiveness is for all people. It changes our relationships, and the work of the cross is final. It is finished. And of course, this is no ordinary death, because while Good Friday ends in sorrow, Christians believe that the story continues, that death itself is defeated, and that new life is just around the corner. Let's pray. What a gift this cross is. Father, we thank you for the sacrifice of Jesus. Jesus, we praise you as the one true King. Thank you for this amazing gift of forgiveness from sin. Lord, would you let it do its work in our hearts to turn us towards you again? Lord, thank you for your forgiveness. We receive it. Would you allow us in your grace and mercy in our lives to extend it to others around us to change our relationships? I pray, God, that the gift of these testimonies that are shared in our lives as we live them out, God, would allow us to truly believe, to trust you, and to follow you. And so, Lord, for those with us here today who may be questioning, who are not sure, who just aren't certain about it, Lord, would you allow by your Spirit for true faith to sprout and to grow? In Jesus' name, amen.